broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is a broadcast for, wow, it's already February the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the blueprint for liberty is the key to the solutions. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm going to skip the recap because we just don't have time. We've got such an incredible topic and so much to discuss relating to this topic. We're just going to kick in and start now. Chris Carlson, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Welcome back, Sam. Good to be here. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight, Sam. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
Chris always does a wonderful job, ladies and gentlemen, putting together a little bit of an allegory, oftentimes a poignant anecdote, etc., to help you understand the topic we will be discussing. Let's start out with that, Chris.
Yeah, the allegory of the post turtle, Sam. So, when you are driving down a country road and you see a turtle perched on top of a fence post, right away, you know three things. Number one, he doesn't belong there. Number two, he didn't get there by himself. And number three, Sam, as long as he is up there, he is not in control of the situation. So, does this sound familiar?
It sounds very familiar, and there's a lot of things out of place in America today. Part of the problem, though, is you got to ask questions. You say, well, I know the turtle doesn't belong there. That's right. I know it didn't get there itself. That's also right. I get that. But I don't know who put it there, and I don't know why. Right?
Well, there are always motives behind actions that people in very powerful positions take. And a lot of times, well, most of the time, they're selfish. There's a lot of money backing them, or there are threats threatening them with negative consequences if they don't follow through on what they promised to do in exchange for a life of wealth and popularity. So I'm specifically talking
about that's factual. Oftentimes, though, sometimes it's a threat. Sometimes it's you want to get rich and you want to be wealthy, but oftentimes it has to do with a power play as well. Or the other times, it relates to the secret combination thereof. Oftentimes, the secret combination, they don't want to be found out for what else they're doing. You might see a couple of things on the surface. They don't want to tie that to what's happening behind the scenes. And the banking cartel, the Rothschilds and others, have been like that forever. You know what? They control the world's banks, the world's money, everything else. And we talked about that with Brian Rust a little bit yesterday, you know, where basically, hey, you know what? We don't know what's going on, but we know that there's a problem here, right? So we talked about, for example, the Feds and Yellen advancing new policies to only go for digital currency and reject paper money. Remember, a cashless society is serious. But that's 100-plus years after we created the Federal Reserve in secret on Jekyll Island in the first place. How can we fight against a cashless society? Well, listen to this quote. I care not who controls a nation's political affairs so long as I control her currency. Mayor Anshul Rothschild. Now, let me say that quote again. I care not who controls a nation's currency. I'm sorry. I care not who controls a nation's political affairs so long as I control her currency. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. You kind of understand what we'll be discussing today. I'm going to say the quote one more time. I care not who controls a nation's political affairs so long as I control her currency, Rothschild. And you look at that, and this dovetails very nicely into the discussion today. So keep this allegory of the fence post, or I'm sorry, of the post turtle, keep that in mind as we go into the details on this issue. Just as turtles do not climb posts and perch themselves on top. People don't come out of nowhere, create multi-million dollar organizations, get a ton of free media coverage, and then just disappear into the ether. That doesn't happen either, Chris.
No, sir. And we're talking specifically today, Sam, about BLM's millions unaccounted for after leaders quietly jump ship. Now, you've got three co-founders of Black Lives Matter. We're talking about Patrice Cullors, we're talking about Alicia Garza, and we're talking about Opal Tometi. And these three black women, I'm looking at a picture of them right now as we speak, about 8.5 years ago created what is known as Black Lives Matter, allegedly. Now, I don't believe that for a minute, Sam, as you know, because now 8.5 years after the creation of Black Lives Matter, they're nowhere to be found. Now, why would they just jump ship? Why would they abandon a corporation? Well, it's not a corporation, excuse me. A social justice organization that is capitalized at this point to the tune of $60 million. Nobody wants to touch the levers of power in Black Lives Matter today. And it's a mystery. Why would somebody walk away from an organization? And Patrice Cullors, by the way, if you'll recall, maybe you reported on this last summer or late spring, went on a real estate spending binge and spent an estimated $3.2 billion on real estate in California and in the Bahamas. Do you remember reporting on that?
Yeah, that's all true. Where the money comes from is beyond imagination, since she doesn't have the financial ties, huh? Or does she, right?
Yep, and at about that point, I guess that was May of last year, Sam, she took off, and she hasn't been heard from since. So she walked away from a $60 million organization that has some really interesting ties, and we'll get into that. Matter of fact, let's get into that right now. So here are all the ties that Black Lives Matter has. They have an organ, and these are all separate organizations, by the way. Some of them are 501c3 organizations, some not so much. But they're all so-called charitable non-governmental organizations. So here we go with the list. BLM PAC. Los Angeles-based jail reform group called Dignity and Power Now, Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, Thousand Currents, the George Soros-funded Tides Fund, and probably a host of other organizations. And if you added up all of the capitalization of all these organizations, it would be well over $1 billion. And these are supposedly social reform movements that are supposed to have the interests of their clients or their constituents at heart. Yet the three social warriors who founded the main foundation that we're talking about today, BLM, they've all jumped ship, and they have refused appeals for interviews and for answering their telephone calls, and they're nowhere to be found. And the remaining people within the organization who Patrice Cullors actually appointed to executive positions when she left, they don't answer phone calls. They don't want to get anywhere near the levers of power within the organization, Sam. And I can figure it out. This organization has become toxic. Its reputation is now tarnished because of all the death and destruction that has been visited upon major American cities as a result of their activities. And I don't blame them for jumping ship, but it all just seems very odd to me that now Black Lives Matter, they won't answer phone calls. The location that they gave the IRS as their headquarters, reporters have gone there, and the security guard at the front gate says, "We don't know anything about Black Lives Matter. As far as I know, it's never existed at this location." So there's all
now, let me stop you right there, Chris, because this
mystery
is critical. The IRS was lied to about their address, their location. All right? You've got a situation where these people disappear into the ether, supposedly. You have a situation where you got to ask the question, would you walk away from $60 million? How about $21 billion? Can you connect the dots and start to see the big picture BLM has millions of unaccounted for dollars after leaders jumped ship. Andrew Kerr writes an article about this. Washington Examiner also highlights millions of dollars unaccountable, or unaccounted for, I should say, after leaders quietly jumped ship, Washington Examiner. So there's a lot of people starting to dig into this. They say no one appears to be in charge at Black Lives Matter for months. The address it lists on tax forms is wrong, as you point out. And the charity's two board members will not say who controls the $60 million bankroll. Now, here's, in my opinion, the reality here. The government, if you and I had $5 out of line with the IRS and lied on our address, we would probably be arrested. The FBI would be on board with the IRS looking into this, drilling down like nobody's business, Chris. But right now, you don't see any of that. You see the government with really, literally, a hands-off approach. And I'll tell you part of the reason why. Because remember, back in the summer, last summer, big business was in bed with Black Lives Matter. Big business partnered with and funded Black Lives Matter. Where are they now? Not saying a word. Where's the government now? Not saying a word, not digging into it. They're too busy making sure you got a mask on. You see what I'm talking about? Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman, back in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Can you connect the dots and see the big picture? We're talking about Black Lives Matter's millions of unaccounted for dollars after leaders jump ship. Andrew Kerr, now remember, as I mentioned last summer and everything else, Black Lives Matter was the cat's meow of big business. You had corporations dumping money into Black Lives Matter big time. I reported that in 2021, for example, I think it was, Black Lives Matter got $90 million. All right? And you look at the allegory of the post turtle and you go, how did that sucker get on the post? Well, why would it be up there in the first place? All right? People don't come out of nowhere, create billions of dollars, millions of dollars, get in bed with big business, and then disappear. And now, Chris, and I want to mention this again, the government seems to have a hands-off approach. You don't see the IRS or the FBI cranking up investigations to go after these people at all. You don't see that one bit. And so where did this money come from? What you got to do is follow the money. Where did this money come from? And how did big business decide to get in bed with this heinous group in the first place? This group that literally peddles communist principles as their guidelines. Go look at their websites, ladies and gentlemen. There's anti-family, anti-God, anti-country as it gets. Their goal, Alessa Garza, and I've reported on her before many times, Alessa Garza, I should say. You know, she's one of the founders. She literally said, hey, our goal is to disrupt and destroy society. Flat out. Okay? But you know what? Where does the money come from? How does big business get involved in this? And it really looks to us like money laundering has got to be the case. But who's going to follow the money? Who's going to get to the bottom of it? Not your Justice Department, not your FBI, not your big business, not your Homeland Security. Never mind they publicly said they want to destroy the country. Okay? It's a hands-off approach, Chris. That, if you want to connect the dots, tells you more than you need to know.
Yeah, and I don't know everything, all the details behind why people are jumping ship in this situation. I do know that there's a lot of toxicity that has been garnered over the past few years. But I will say this, Sam, and this is kind of, you know, the theme of the show today is, can you connect the dots and start to see the big picture? We don't need to see the big picture all of a sudden. We just need to start to see and come into focus the fact that things just are not right in this country. And we're going to get into the $21 trillion that you referred to earlier in a little more detail at the head of the government. So people in this country really need to come to grips, Sam, with the realization that organizations like BLM, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and even so-called conservative groups like the Proud Boys and the Three Percenters are not grassroots organizations, as they would like you to think. I cannot tell you all the characters behind these front organizations, but a few names like George Soros, David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, and Susan Rosenberg, who we will get to a little later, come to mind. We don't need to know all of the players, Sam, at this point. What we do need to know is that there are very powerful forces pushing these agendas. Marxism has never been a bottom-up grassroots agenda, as they would like you to think. Self-respecting working-class people intuitively know that this sort of a system never works. The reason that subversive movements like BLM are controlled from the top down is because it is not a share-the-wealth program so much as it is a consolidate-the-wealth program into the hands of the elitists who control those programs. Once power to control bad behavior is consolidated into the hands of politicians and bureaucrats for good, it is always abused by the same for the selfish and evil ends. And so that's the picture that I'm trying to paint here, even though I cannot tell you every one of the players involved.
Well, we don't need to tell you every one of the players involved. What we need to do is call on great investigative teams to dig into the money. Dig into who controls the money. Somehow, and this is where the government, in my opinion, has a problem. They're in bed with Black Lives Matter and protecting them. How long would it take if we can find out Russian banks and shut them down and withhold money and lock bank accounts around the world and stop, quote, terrorists? How come we don't know who controls the bank account where Black Lives Matter money is? This is very simple. Even if you don't know how the money got there, that's another, you know, discussion. But you can say, well, what account is it in? And who controls that account? In America, if you have banks setting up accounts, ladies and gentlemen, where you don't know who the owner of the account is, can you say money laundering? So either it's money laundering and they really can't trace the money, and Black Lives Matter is better than the terrorists around the world, or the government is simply not doing its proper job on this one. And so you got to look at that and ask some serious questions. Is there an account with money in it for Black Lives Matter? If so, have we located it? If we haven't, why not? You're telling me we can stop the biggest terrorists in the world and control their money and literally sanction other governments around the world and control their money, but we can't control or discover who accounts for the money for Black Lives Matter? Hey, man, that turtle's on the fence post. I don't know anything about it. I'm just telling you it doesn't belong there. Well, the government really can't know who put it up there. That money is in those bank accounts, ladies and gentlemen. Do you see the parallel? You know three things with the turtle and with the money in the bank accounts. What are they? One, doesn't belong there. Two, it didn't get there by itself. Right? And three, you know what? Who put it there then? You got to ask those serious, fundamental questions. Would you walk away from $120 billion? The Black Lives Matter group now, the two people that are still kind of tied to the organization, if you will not say who controls their money. Okay? Think about that for a minute. What does that mean? How come they're not arrested? They won't say who controls their $60 million bankroll?
And they don't want control over it for some reason, Sam. And that's kind of mysterious, don't you think?
Well, it's mysterious, but it asks the question. So you're telling me, and this is where, again, we need real investigative drill in on this. So you're telling me that you're with an organization, and you can't tell me who controls the bank. Who provides your paycheck? Or do you get a paycheck? Are you just on there for free? And if you're on there for free, then how are you making a living? Are you just independently wealthy? You're just some black chick that's independently wealthy on there or whatever? Okay, it doesn't make any sense. And it would not be hard to dig into their finances and figure out where are they getting money from. Somebody's writing them a check. Somebody's ACH transferring money into their account. Somebody, if you find a private investigator, is giving them cash. I don't know what or how or where or who. I just know that turtle doesn't belong on that post. And I'm telling you, we need to discover how it got there and why it's there, who put it there. That's what we need to discover. Now, the Black Lives Matter fundraising, there has been a little bit of digging done, not by your government, but by great investigative reporters. It's handled by a group, the fundraising for Black Lives Matter, by a group that is tied to convicted terrorists. Right, Chris?
Yep, it's because Black Lives Matter, because Black Lives, as I mentioned, is not a 501c3 charitable organization, but Thousand Currents, which is partially funded by George Soros, is a 501c3 organization. So they're tax exempt. So they are actually the contributor or the fundraising arm for Black Lives Matter. And it is run, at least in part, by a woman by the name of Susan Rosenberg. And let me just read a little bit about Susan. So Susan Rosenberg is a member of the board of directors for the left-wing Thousand Currents Group, which I said was partially funded by George Soros, which, by extension, is funded by the Rothschild banking family and the usual suspects that we've covered. Okay, so Susan Rosenberg, who handles the intake of donations made to Black Lives Matter, is a convicted terrorist. Okay, she was sentenced to 58 years
in prison. Now think about that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Susan sits on the board for Thousand Currents, and she's a convicted terrorist. Thousand Currents and others are the groups put in charge of fundraising for Black Lives Matter. Can you connect the dots and start to see the big picture, ladies and gentlemen?
Yep.
Millions of unaccounted for dollars, supposedly.
So,
fundraising handled by group with convicted terrorist on its board. Now, that's the Washington Examiner document in that piece, just so you know. Chris?
Yeah, and nobody reads. I shouldn't say that. That's kind of cruel. If this was the New York Times, maybe it would get a little more coverage or a little more awareness. Okay, so yeah, she's a convicted terrorist. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Rosenberg had been a member of the radical leftist revolutionary military group known as the May 19th Communist Organization, and that was affiliated with the Weather Underground, which most of us have heard about. And we'll continue on the other side of the break.
You got it, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I'm telling you right now, pay attention to what we're telling you. Black Lives Matter, tied to terrorism, tied to communism, and more. And the government does nothing. And big business in America partners with them. You and I criticism, and we're called racist, right?
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The fog of war dominates Russia's aggression against its Ukrainian neighbor. Reports out of Eastern Europe have made one thing clear. Death and destruction is taking place. Russian President Vladimir Putin has taken to TV to threaten any other nation that interferes.
For those who could be tempted to intervene from outside, whoever tries to hinder us, and even more so, to create threats to our country, to our people, should know that Russia's response will be immediate, and it will lead you to such consequences that you have never encountered in your history.
President Biden is taking to TV to impose sanctions.
We have purposely designed these sanctions to maximize the long-term impact on Russia and to minimize the impact on the United States and our allies.
Thursday's sanctions are aimed at crippling the Russian economy, its financial institutions, and its access to technology. USA Radio News.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Major League Baseball is playing hardball with the Players Union as the season looms.
Major League Baseball has stated they will begin canceling regular season games if the league and Major League Baseball Players Association can't come to terms on a new collective bargaining agreement by Monday. The games will not be made up and players would not be paid full season salaries. Major League Baseball said a deadline is a deadline. Missed games are missed games and salaries will absolutely not be paid for those games. It is the first time Major League Baseball has publicly said it would shorten the season if a new deal isn't reached by the deadline. Citing health concerns, the league said it wants about 4 weeks of spring training, hence its Monday deadline. Opening day was initially scheduled for March 31st. The sides remain far apart on a new agreement. The union is likely to pull expanded playoffs off the table if players can't be paid for a full season salary. From the USA Radio News Washington Bureau, I'm John Hunt.
We are USA Radio News.
Live and on your radio, Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson breaking it down like nobody's business. Can you connect the dots, ladies and gentlemen, and see the bigger picture? It's a serious question that we're asking, ladies and gentlemen, all throughout this hour, because it's really important that you understand what's going on. What are we talking about? We're talking about Black Lives Matter. Literally millions of dollars unaccounted for. After leaders quietly jumped ship, Andrew Kerr with the article doing a great job. We're talking about following the money. We're talking about accountability. No one seems to have been in charge at Black Lives Matter for months, they say. The address it lists on tax forms is wrong. And the charity's two board members will not say who controls its $60 million bankroll. But they got way more than $60 million, too. The question is how much money they really have, and nobody knows that answer, supposedly, either. Okay? This convicted terrorist, Susan, what's your last name, Chris?
Rosenberg.
Susan Rosenberg. A very interesting last name I might draw your attention to without giving it too much focus. She's a convicted terrorist, and she's literally on the board of the group that raises money for Black Lives Matter. So let me ask you a question. Somebody needs to talk to the terrorist, Susan, and say, hey, if you're raising money for somebody, do you know who you're raising the money for? Well, Black Lives Matter. Yeah, but you don't raise money without relationships, ladies and gentlemen. You don't put your money-raising skills or whatever you want to say, connections, whatever term you want to use to, okay, you don't put that on display without having a confidence in what you're raising money for. Okay, you just don't do that. What if you are raising money for terrorists? The terrorists are raising the money. Yeah, I get it now. See, ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem here. And no one's asking real questions, Chris.
No, nobody is. And nobody's getting the information unless you dig a little deeper than CNN and Fox, Sam. That's the problem. And people won't do that. And that's a form of idolatry, which we won't get into. But yeah, so, and then I think it's interesting on a couple of different levels that Susan Rosenberg is a convicted, not just a charge, but a convicted terrorist. And she was pardoned, by the way, by Bill Clinton in the waning years of his presidency. She should have still been in jail. She was convicted to 58 years in prison, okay? So, and then I pose the rhetorical question, have you ever wondered why those in positions of power more often than not are immoral or outright criminals? And then I go on to say, Sam, just consider our past and current presidents. So we all know the criminal activities that Bill and Hillary Clinton engaged in. And then there's the Bush crime family with their past connections to financing the rise of Nazi Germany. You've got Barry Sotoro, a.k.a. Barack Obama, who was wrapped up in the Benghazi scandal. You got Donald Trump with his connections to George Soros, Jeffrey Epstein, and the Rothschild banking interest. And these are all our past presidents, you know, for the last, 20 years. Is this just a coincidence? I pose a rhetorical question. No. The reason that almost all of our leaders are corrupt is because then they can be controlled through blackmail. So that explains why it seems like more often than not, Sam, people in positions of power are always blackmailable because they've always got skeletons in their closet that they don't want dragged out for the public to see. And they know that. And that's why they're chosen for the positions that they're chosen for. Anyway, and by the way, the thousands currents, according to the Washington Examiner, did not return calls from the Washington Examiner reporters. Just saying, which shouldn't surprise you.
Now, the real question, though, is why isn't the government looking into this? Why aren't they looking into this? So you can ask these two leaders that are supposedly still with the organization where their paychecks come from, and you know what? Are you going to really tell me you're going to be on the board of this organization, and you're not going to know or admit or tell who is in control of the money? All right, that to me is a problem when your fundraiser is already a convicted terrorist. See, the FBI went after all kinds of conservatives relating to January the 6th, relating to the Ammon Bundy situation, relating to the, what's it called? Whatville? Oh, shoot. Charlottesville scenario, and all those people are going to be threatened to be terrorists or whatever. And you, okay, and you look at this and you go, what on earth? And now you got to dig into some of the other players as well. Let's talk about Alyssa Garza now, Chris.
Okay, Alyssa Garza, she's a doozy. Alicia Garza, one of three co-founders of Black Lives Matter National Organization, has repeatedly talked about how a convicted cop killer and wanted domestic terrorist, Joanne Chesimard, also known as Asada Shakur, is one of her main inspirations. Now, this is a woman who killed a cop execution style, point blank range, with a handgun. And that is one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter's heroes. Do you want to dig into Asada Shakur?
I think we should, because listen, Alyssa Garza is the one that basically said our goal is to destroy America. Remember, I brought her up a little bit earlier on purpose. We've done some reporting on her in the past. Okay, she wants to destroy America. She flat out wants to disrupt society and destroy the country. She flat out says it. She's a communist, anarchist, I don't know what. But anyway, and now one of her favorite people is this cop-killing lady. All right, now listen to the details on this lady that's her hero.
Okay, so she's currently at large. She escaped prison in 1979. Asada Shakur is currently on the FBI's most wanted terrorist list with a $1 million.
Let me stop you there. I don't believe that, though. They're letting her run around free. They let her go. She might have escaped, but we didn't make a serious effort to catch her. You're telling me that we can run around and get Osama bin Laden, but yet we can't get this lady? Okay, I'm not buying it, Chris. I don't buy it. It's a lie, and this is more evidence that the government's covering this up.
Yep, they don't want to get her. They don't want to punish the guilty, Sam. You know why? Because once they start punishing guilty people, then we won't have so many guilty people wanting to assume positions of power, because they'll be afraid for their lives and their freedom.
I agree.
So they got to protect the guilty. They got to protect the guilty.
So she escaped from prison.
Those are some of their greatest assets. But yeah, well, she's... Yeah, maybe she's hanging out with Ray Epp somewhere in the Caribbean. Who knows? Maybe on Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island. It's just hard to tell. But so Asada, let me finish what she did here. Asada Shakur is currently on the FBI's most wanted terrorist list. A member of the revolutionary extremist group called Black Liberation Army, Shakur is wanted for escaping from prison in New Jersey in 1979. Do you think she had a little help in escaping from prison? I mean, do women just escape from prisons that easily? I got a feeling she had some help. While serving,
they do when they're backed by flat-out anarchists and communists. They do, Chris.
They do. Unfortunately, okay. During a traffic stop in 1973, Shakur and two accomplices were stopped for a motor vehicle violation on the New Jersey Turnpike by two New Jersey State Police troopers. Shakur was wanted at the time for her role in a number of serious crimes, including bank robbery and other things. So they opened fire on the officers, injuring one trooper and killing, and his name is Werner Forster, execution style at point-blank range. She was caught and sentenced, but then escaped, making her way to Cuba in 1984. So it sounds like she was at large for about 5 years, and then I don't know how we weren't able to catch her during that five-year period before she fled to Cuba, but I shouldn't even ask the question. We already know the answer, Sam.
Well, and again, don't tell me that we can't get people out of Cuba if we need to, too. You could send a crack sniper team into Cuba, and you could find her in a heartbeat. I'm telling you right now, and you could drag her back if you truly chose to. There's terms like mark and reprisal in the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, and there's other ways short of declaring war that can literally take care of criminals like this. So let's be very clear. Don't think for one second that it can't get done. You're lying to yourself, ladies and gentlemen. They can find you for IRS violations, but they can't find any of these Black Lives Matter people. And there's 50 entry points or more that we talk about that relate to this. You know what? Why is Alicia Garza able to literally say, I want to destroy the country and run around free? Why is this lady then able to literally kill someone, go to jail, break free, and now she's just still on the loose, and by golly, we can't find her. Oh, she's in Cuba. Oh, well, she's not in Guantanamo Bay. All right, so you look at this and you just go, wow. When you start to connect the dots or the missing dots, it almost tells you more than if you had all the dots. The government is involved in this to their eyeballs, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, and if they can throw somebody in the jail that was merely in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, 2020, you know, why can't they find and prosecute these criminals who say these horrible things?
You also got to understand, this lady's name is Joanne Chesimert, also known as Asada Shakur. What's up with that and those ties?
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, some say Joanne Shacker, a.k.a. this very strange name tied to Islam and everything else, right? This lady, they say, is the first woman on the FBI's most wanted list. Now, back in 1971, she started rejecting her name. She said that Joanne whatever was a slave name, and so she wanted to go by this new Shakar name. But understand that, you know what? You've ever heard of rapper Tupac? Shakar? Well, I guess that's his aunt. Yeah. Anyway, you're talking about Black Liberation Party member. Okay, we're talking about this. Really, you get these ties to these terrorist organizations, Black Power and Black. It's a serious issue, Chris. Black Power and Black. It's a serious issue,
Chris. Yeah. And all this behavior is modeling. And let me tell you, I wrote something about modeling. Another aspect of this game is modeling. We tend to look up to people who are in positions of power. We erroneously assume that they got where they are because of hard work and good decision-making. We also assume that people who work hard and make good decisions and achieve success are automatically rewarded with favorable media coverage. We need to come to grips with the fact that media coverage today is for propaganda purposes only. And that's important. Let me repeat that. Media coverage today is for propaganda purposes only. What you are seeing in the media is only what they want you to see, whether the coverage is positive or negative. In the case of Trump, for example, it was negative. Alicia Garza and these other characters, Asada Shakur, and all these people that are getting away with these crimes are modeling behavior that they want you to emulate, Sam. And the fact that they get away with it just shows you that, hey, I can get away with that crap too. Which you usually can. If it subverts the American traditional way of society, if it's anyway, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I do. There is a headline from the New York, from the Washington Post, or from NY, the New York Post, I guess this is. All right, and the headline says this. You probably don't even know this, Chris, but here's the point about the media and propaganda. JetBlue apologizes for honoring cop killer in Black History Month display. They literally promoted Joanne Chesimer as a great patriot, and then they got caught at it and were forced to apologize for the boondoggle. Joanne Chesimer, also known as Asada Shakur, was featured in the exhibit. And then one of the flyers on JetBlue noticed it and went, are you kidding me right now? There you have it. If you want to talk about media's propaganda, there it goes. They tried to get away with it. Did they do it by mistake? They might claim so. I submit to you that when big business is in bed with these people, it was intentional. What do you say, Chris?
Yep. Oh, of course. They're modeling, glorifying that which is anti-American, anti-Christian, anything anti-good. They want to model that behavior and show how people become successful and popular as a result. And, you know, a lot of people live their lives based on what they see in the media, unfortunately. I don't, you know, when I don't even expose myself to hardly any media. Occasionally we'll watch a movie or, you know, my wife will be watching the news on TV. But I have developed developed a filter that tells me that this is brainwashing that I'm being subject to. Almost everything on TV that you're exposed to, if it's mainstream media, it is brainwashing, and you need to be aware of that. And the flicker rate sometimes put people in a partial trance-like state. I don't know if you want to get into that, but the flicker rates can be manipulated on your TV screen to where you are actually induced into a trance-like condition to where you are much more susceptible to brainwashing. And I'm very careful what I expose myself to, and I rarely watch stuff on TV. But I would like to talk a little bit about Patrice Cullors and some comments you made. And you've probably covered these in the past.
Yeah,
Sam,
before we end this topic, though, about this Shakar, whatever you want to say her name is, this cop killer, celebrating Black History Month, JetBlue got caught at it. JetBlue's excuse was, oh, we bought a group of posters promoting Black History Month from a third party. We're so sorry. See what I mean by accountability, ladies and gentlemen? You can't even trace the posters now. Right? Nobody wants to get to the bottom of it except for guys like Sam and Chris, or very few of us. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and then they scrub it from the internet. Once the controversy starts, boom, it disappears mysteriously from the internet. And that tells you who's running the internet. Okay, Patrice Cullors. I think it's important we understand who she is. She made a couple of statements, and this did gain a lot of publicity at the time. So I'm trying to look at the date. I think this is around 2014 in an interview with an individual by the name of Jared Ball. She says, and this is Patrice Cullors, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, when we use things like all lives matter or when we say things like our lives matter, what we're really I'm sorry, the English is so horrible. I try to correct it, but I probably shouldn't. So she says that we're actually negating black life, whether that's intentional or unintentional. So my comment, Sam, on that is, you know, a lot of people say, well, don't all lives matter? And then there's blue lives matter and, you know, all sorts of different groups. They matter just as much as black lives. So here's what I say in connection with that, Sam. Here's another dot for you to connect. How did BLM get away with convincing people that all lives matter is offensive to blacks and racist, and is racist? I had a family member try to explain this to me. To this day, I still can't figure out how being inclusive is actually being exclusive. And think about the irony of that statement. So being inclusive by saying all lives matter, Sam, is somehow exclusive and offensive to black people. And they've convinced us to that. Like I said, a family member and I had this discussion. And that family member, whose name I won't divulge, was convinced that saying all lives matter is actually racist. And that's one of the statements that Patrice Cullors said in this interview. Another she said, and this is very telling, we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia Garza, in particular, are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. And if that doesn't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, it should. They are trained Marxists, and they admit it.
But what your government does is they go after people like Ammon Bundy, and then after 2 years of abuse, guilty of nothing. They go after Donald Trump and claim he has ties to Russia. Russia, 2 years after, you know, hey, tied to nothing. They go after guys like me and you, ladies and gentlemen. Had we made a mistake and appeared at the January 6th event, we'd be under the gun now. They're literally letting these terrorists go. They're not tracing the money. They're protecting them for some reason. Okay? This is serious business. Another aspect of this game, ladies and gentlemen, that we got to get to before the end of the hour is modeling. Chris?
Yes, modeling. So they hold up some of the most disgusting, vile, anti-American, anti-Christian people, like the ones we just talked about. Did you want to talk about an individual in particular? Because
anybody you like, sir.
Them all in the same category, and they glorify them. Bill Clinton, you know, was the first president, for example, who openly admitted to an extramarital relationship. And we began on the path of accepting immoral leaders in our country and tried to dichotomize their behavior from the fact that, hey, the economy is roaring along. You know, why bug him about his personal life? That's between him and his wife. And then we modeled that behavior, and all of a sudden, you know, it was no big deal for national leaders to have extramarital affairs with Black Lives Matter. And I know you and Lowell have talked about this. When you turn on the TV nowadays, which, like I said, I rarely do, Sam, it's all black people. And I have nothing against talented black actors, you know, making a name for themselves, making a career for themselves. But it's almost as if their interface saying, hey, you know, white people, you for the last 400 years, you've oppressed these people, and now you get your comeuppance. You have to be exposed to, you know, in movies and commercials and everything in the media. They're just saying, hey, now it's our turn. Now it's the blacks' turns. You're getting your comeuppance. We're settling the score with you. And go ahead, Sam. Did you want
to comment? Well, I
want
to talk about modeling a little bit more, too. Understand, we tend to look up to people that are in positions of power, and we're kind of deceived that that's the ideal. That's what this modeling idea is. You mentioned Bill Clinton as a great example. I want to mention this one Shakar lady in this poster. It pointed her out as a civil rights activist. It also said, quote, many people believe Shakar to be a political champion who is innocent against the accusations against her. Wait a minute now. She was a convicted cop killer. There wasn't accusations. She had a jury trial and everything else, but this poster just lies and uses modeling to make her out to be the queen of freedom. Okay? Now you take Donald Trump as well. Because we're not interested in just attacking one side here, ladies and gentlemen. We're interested in telling the truth. Donald Trump has been put up. Barack Obama has been put up almost as like Christ-like figures. They're going to save us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, there's only one King Jesus. And that's the only king I'll ever accept. And it's the only real savior there ever will be. So this modeling is a deceptive way that they manipulate us into supporting their agenda. Or leaving people alone, saying, oh, you know what, leave Lisa Garza alone. Or Alicia Garza alone. Leave Shakar alone. Don't go after Black Lives Matter. If you do, you're a racist, kind of an idea. But ladies and gentlemen, Black Lives Matter and the financing they have is built by big business in partnership with your silent government. And your government, whether they're just silent or whether they're participating at a higher level, I can't say. But I can say this. They're going to go after you for not wearing a mask. They're going to go after you for not getting a shot and destroy your finances, destroy your whole career. But yet, if you're one of these terrorists and communists and Black Lives Matter advocates and everything else, they're going to back you till the cows come home, and there's zero accountability. Are you starting to connect the dots yet, Chris?
Yeah, I started a long time ago, and I want America, the rest of America, at least a majority, so we have a voting block to start connecting these dots. And don't forget Donald Trump. Can I just add this one thing about Donald Trump? Now, Donald Trump has been regarded as this brutish, rude, insensitive figure. That was not by accident, Sam. That is by design. They want to caricature conservatives as rude, insensitive, brutish, you know, just buffoon-type figures.
Disrespectful, so unkind, irreverent.
Irreverent, all those adjectives they want to associate with us. And then we were forced to accept him because he was our only hope, right? Either that or Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. It is shocking what's going on in America today. We've done more research and more documentation of these terrorists tied to Black Lives Matter than it looks like the government has done. Maybe they need to listen to Liberty Roundtable Live to get kind of the starting point so they can do the due diligence to root out true terrorists and con artists among us. Are we doing their work for them? I guess so. Chris, thank you so much. Last word's yours.
Yes, sir. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, Sam, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duties, sir.
Thank you so much. We declare this nation shall endure. For Sam and Chris, God save the Republic of the United States of America.